Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Illustration Department podcast. My name is Giuseppe Castellano. In this podcast, I talk to folks in illustration, graphic design, publishing, animation, and other creative fields about their beginnings, their successes, and the bumps and bruises they've experienced along the way. In this episode, my guest is illustrator and author Rasheen Hiria. Imagine the country you live in pays for you to travel to places like Bologna and Paris to pursue your dream of being an illustrator. That's what Rasheen had in Iran. Among other topics, she and I talk about how she became an illustrator with help from her mother and the Iranian government. We talk about the cultural differences she's noticed while working with publishers around the world, and Rasheen explains why your life's experiences are worth sharing through illustration. I hope you enjoy our conversation. On September 22nd, 1980, Saddam Hussein's Iraq invaded Iran. Your hometown was in the middle of it.
Wow. Yeah.
You said in an interview that you essentially became a refugee. You became a refugee. Like, what did you, what did your family, how did your family respond? Where did you go?
Well, it was really sad. You know, my parents, my mom was a midwife and my father was a teacher. And so when that happened, I was 9 months. My brother was around 7 years old. So when that happened, you know, there wasn't any alert in TV or radios about the war that is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So no one had any idea that it's coming. People just surprised when one morning Saddam Hussein started bombing the city. Mm-hmm. So people was scared. They just it was a chaos. So my parents just took me and my brother, put it in the car, and then just ran away. They didn't get a chance to take anything from the house, like mm-hmm. no IDs, nothing. They just ran away and they escaped to northern part of Iran by the Caspian Sea because my grandparents was living there. Mm-hmm. So they thought that, okay, we put the kids with them to be safe, and then we're gonna come back and took some things or thinking what's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So my mom was in duty because she was a nurse. So, but things didn't happen the way they thought. So when they arrived to my grandparents' house, which was very far. I mean, I think 2 days driving, something like that.
Wow.
When they got there, they realized that the Khorramshahr, like the town, just shut down, so no one can come in or out.
Right.
So they got stuck there. A horrible situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it lasted for 8 years, right?
Yeah. And so they had to start a new life over there. So we stayed with my grandparents for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents started to be a nurse in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And my father started teaching in a school. And they made their life just little by little from nothing.
Right.
I'm really proud of them.
Yeah. What led you to art? I mean, where was art in all of this? Was it there yet or not yet?
Well, my mom, she was a midwife mm-hmm. and nurse, but also she was very talented in art.
Mm-hmm.
She was a great painter. I was watching her painting. So she had an easel in the kitchen all the time. She was cooking and also painting. So it was very inspiring. I at the beginning, I wanted to be a midwife when I was grow up.
Oh,
said, "Yeah, mom, I want to be a midwife." And she took me to the hospital a couple of times, and when I heard a like pregnant lady just screaming and suffering, I said, no,
yeah, no, not for me, no thanks.
I don't want to be a midwife. I don't want to have a kid. I don't want to be pregnant.
Yeah.
And wow. So I decided, yeah, I like to paint.
Yeah.
And my first painting, actually, I've done in the hospital when my mom took me there. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting at her desk. Mm-hmm. She gave me a paper and a pen, and I draw it like a giant head, like a curly hair with a curly hair, and like a stick figure.
Yeah.
So my mom loved it, and she encouraged me to do. And my father got me like color pencils, markers, and they encouraged me to do it.
Yeah. You have a PhD in children's book illustration. That's, first of all, I want a PhD in children's book illustration. That sounds awesome. Is that from, let's see if I can pronounce this correctly, Al Zahra University?
Okay.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, Al Zahra, yeah.
Yeah.
So I got my master's degree in graphic design from Al Zahra, and they offered me like a doctorate degree.
Yeah.
In that time, it was a time that I was decided to go to New York to continue my education over there. Yeah. So I went to New York in the summer of 2011. And so I didn't accept their offer from Al Zahra, but later on, the Ministry of Art and Culture in Iran, they had a jury, board of juries, and then they studied my whole career, all the things I've done, and then they offered me like a doctorate degree in illustration.
Yeah, they just gave it to you. Basically, it's an honorary degree. I mean, but it's a real degree. Yeah. They're like, well, you already did the work, so here's the degree. That's incredible. That's incredible. You know, in the United States, from my very limited perspective and view and experience, I'd say the population in general doesn't really understand what illustration is, and it's something that I continue to talk about in the podcast. Like, it upsets me. Like, our Americans need to respect illustration more than they do. How do you feel about Iran and how Iranians? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the Iranians and the Iranian government are two completely different entities, but how do Iranians support the arts? Do you feel like that? Do you feel like Iran supports, especially children's book illustration? Do you feel like there is a support there, an understanding, a respect, or not?
I think they do, especially during the presidency of Ahmad Khatami in Iran. Lots of opportunities arise, and they open the doors to the artists, especially in illustration. There was a time that so many wonderful, talented illustrators showed up in Iran, and I think the government took them seriously because they saw that these illustrators are very successful in foreign festivals. They received very prestigious awards around the world, so they took them seriously. So I remember when I when I got award in Bologna Book Fair, the government covered all my expenses to travel there. So they also give me how do you call it, a scholarship to spend 4 months living in Paris and study art, something like that. So I think they did a good job. I think it's still they do that. Not as much as those period of time of Khatami presidency, but still I think they have a good respect to children's book illustration.
Yeah. I mean, your first illustration job was a magazine.
Right.
Right. And a couple of years later, you won an Iranian illustration award. Mm-hmm. It seems like you've won an award from seemingly every country on this planet. But you won this award, and it kind of opened you up to Iranian publishers. And then one thing led to another. Foreign publishers started knocking on your door. Your work has been published in the United States, Italy, Japan, Brazil, India, and obviously Iran. Have you noticed differences in what clients from different continents ask of you? How they talk about your work, how they even speak to you? I mean, are there cultural differences that you find interesting that have come up, or maybe not?
That's a good question. Yeah, I've been working with so many different publishers around the world. Differences, they're all wonderful. They mm-hmm. all respect me mm-hmm. enough. And then maybe some of them trust me more and then open my hands. I mean, they let me do whatever I want with the artwork, and they don't interfering during the process. Mm-hmm. But some of them try to control every details, like micromanaging.
You know, I have to ask, right? Like, who's yeah. the micromanager? I have an idea.
You know, in Iran, I had a lot of freedom to do my artwork. Mm-hmm. You know, the publishers really trusted me. Mm-hmm. I didn't even show them the sketches. They just gave me the manuscript, and I just gave them the final artwork, and they love it.
Wow. So, okay, that sounds great.
So, yeah, in some project, I gave them the finished artworks, mm-hmm. but I wasn't really happy with that. Mm-hmm. And I told them, okay, please don't give it to the printer. I want to give it another try. And they said, okay. And then I completely started a new direction mm-hmm. of illustration. And the result was good because that project won the New Horizon Award in Bologna Book Fair. Mm-hmm. So everyone was happy. I was happy. Publisher was happy.
Well, that was an incredibly I mean, for somebody who's an international illustrator, that's an incredibly diplomatic answer. I am not so diplomatic, so I'm going to guess that it's the United States that's the micromanager. You do not have to confirm. That is definitely my guess, and I think I'm right. There was an old lady who swallowed a fly. Mm-hmm. Now, when I hear those words, the first person I think of, other than the old lady, mm-hmm. is Sims Tabak, or mm-hmm. Tabak. I never know how to pronounce his last name. You know, he won a Caldecott for his interpretation of the old children's rhyme, which I think came out in the 50s. I don't remember exactly. His book almost never happened. It was rejected a dozen times and eventually was published by Regina Hayes over at Viking in 1997. A couple things. What led to your decision to create your own take, which it's an incredibly impressive take. I'm not saying it's not, I might add. But I'm really curious to hear what led to your decision to create that book.
That one was a fun project. Actually, my art director, Beth Thrill, she offered me that. She offered me that, and she said, kids gonna love this song. Yeah. And so when I read it, I loved it. Mm-hmm. So she proposed it, and I took it.
Yeah, it's kind of a perfect story for you, you know, the way you work, because you work in so many different types of media, lino cuts and watercolor and acrylic and collage and oil and like all this stuff. And it just feels, it's such a bizarre story. It's like such a nonsense story that you can kind of be as creative as you want to be. So I think that was a good call by the art director.
Thank you.
It was published in 2013.
By North South Books.
Right. One of the other things I wanted to talk about that Sims Tabak or Tabak experienced was rejection. I mean, what are your, how have, throughout your career, which is, you know, 20 years plus long, what experiences have you had with respect to rejection?
I had a lot of rejection too. Yeah, sometimes I come up with a story idea or something,
right?
And I thought it's gonna be a good picture book. I send it over to different editors. Yeah, I receive a lot of rejections. Sometimes I change the manuscript, but sometimes it has been accepted by another editor.
This episode is sponsored by Skillshare. Skillshare is offering listeners of the Illustration Department podcast a free trial of premium membership. If you're going to take just one online class, let it be with the ID. If you're going to take two online classes, take one with Skillshare. They are offering fascinating classes on topics including productivity, freelancing and entrepreneurship, creative writing, and much more. Many of you know that I hate the word perfect. It is a word that does not serve us as artists. Let us all agree to replace perfect with progress. So, practice makes progress. Whatever goal you have in mind, advancing toward it is achievable with short lessons, hands-on projects, and classes you can fit with your schedule. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/ID, where you will get a free trial of premium membership. That's 2 weeks free at Skillshare.com/ID. Now back to my conversation with Roisin Hirye. I also learned that you, for a few books, at least, if not more, you change your style. So you're essentially testing for a book and you give them different views or different takes on the art and, you know, the interpretation of the story, which I found kind of interesting because this isn't something that you did earlier in your career.
Yeah.
So for Storyboat, you gave them different like takes on the story. You gave them essentially different styles on the story. What led you to that call? I mean, why did you say, "Oh, I can illustrate it this way or this way or the other way?"
Right. Yeah. But because that project, they've told me that they are looking for a perfect fit, mm-hmm. a right illustrator for the project, because mm-hmm. they had it for 2 years. And they said there is no guarantee, but if you like, you can give us some samples, like color sample.
Sure.
So I gave them like 4 different technique, different styles, and they liked one of them. Yeah, I really wanted to get that project, so I put a lot of effort in it.
Is it true that they were looking for an artist for 2 years for that book?
That's what they told me.
I mean, think about that, writers who are listening to this. You get your book, like you're writing a book, and then you get it picked up by an editor, and you're like, "Holy moly, my book's going to come out soon." And then 2 years later, they find an illustrator, and then another year goes by or whatever, and then the book gets published.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very interesting. My book, Saffron Ice Cream, it took from the day that the editor accepted my story idea, it took 5 years to be published. It's kind of normal.
My God.
You have to be really patient.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, on the other side of that coin, you do also illustrate in the editorial space. One of your clients is the New York Times. Mm-hmm. I was asked recently about the editorial process by an illustrator. How does it work? How long does an illustrator mm-hmm. have to complete the project? They definitely don't have 5 years. What information does the illustrator get from the art director, you know, to help with the piece? What, you know, how much are they paid?
Right.
How does it work with you? What's the process like illustrating for the New York Times? Because I suspect instead of 5 years, you probably have like less than 5 days.
Right. Yeah, it's totally different. And it's very exciting. they usually send an email to you like at 9 a.m. and they ask you if you are like if you have time to do this project. You need to give us a heads up like in 15 minutes. So you have to be like on your emails every day to see if they send you an article. So in 15 minutes, if you respond, so you have the project. If not, they knock on another illustrator. And by noon, you need to give them like a couple of sketches. And if they approve it, or maybe they ask for some revisions on something. After they approve the final sketches, you have until 4 p.m. to complete the project, to finish coloring everything, and send them back to them. So they send it to the printer. It's a very quick process from the morning to the afternoon.
So you have, I thought your answer was going to be 3 days, but you have one day.
One day.
Is there anything about that process that you like comparatively speaking? I know we're really comparing apples and elephants here with, editorial and children's publishing, but I mean, do you prefer a bit of a quicker kind of take? I mean, do you find that you're a bit more creative because you have to let things go? What's the draw for you? No pun intended.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I really love working under the pressure, tight deadlines. That's my favorite. All the editors and art directors working with me, they can approve that I'm really fast. They always commented me, "Oh, Rashi, you're so fast. You're so quick." So that's what I love. I love to work on different projects at the same time. That's my nature, I don't know. But I know that most of the illustrators, they prefer working like doing only one book project or two in a year.
How about you?
No, I love I want to do like 100 projects in a year.
Do you find, I mean, maybe not 100, but let's say you're working on two, three at a time. You get another book that you really like. You just keep, I mean, what's your, do you just keep saying yes? Assuming you like the project, do you just say yes?
The reason is that when I'm working like nonstop, my mind it's become very creative, and my hands do something. They work very properly in when I'm working nonstop. When I stop for a month or two, my hands become dry and rusty. My mind would be the same. So yeah, that I'm one of those guys that I like to be really busy.
You don't fear burnout or anything like that?
No.
So I don't know if you know this, but I'm from Maryland. You used to teach at the University of Maryland. One of those classes, one of the classes that you taught, one of them was you taught animation and drawing, right? What did you hope to impart on the students about drawing? Like, what were you trying to help them understand about drawing?
The drawing class workshop I had over there, it was elements of drawing. Some of my students, I had 38 students in a huge workshop. So some of them became from non-artistic background. And at the beginning of the semester, they were really nervous how they're gonna end up the semester. But at the end, they were happy. They had a complete portfolio with different kind of techniques, different kind of samples of drawing. So that makes me so happy that at least five or six students that had no idea they can draw, they are now they do.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I'm asking about drawing specifically is because, I mean, it's not a novel statement to say that drawing is the foundation of all of it. You know, you can't paint, you can't create characters, you can't do any of it without understanding drawing. I guess there are exceptions. I can hear people already being like, well, what about this person? But generally speaking, you need to know how to draw, if you want to, especially if you want to get into narrative art. With you, like, I mean, your character designs are just so interesting, and you really take things to unexpected places with your shapes and especially your color choices and like all this stuff. And yet it all kind of comes together, and it all just feels, as abstract as it all is, you know, it all just feels quite believable and relatable. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
What are you thinking about when you, when you're thinking about environmental design or character design?
The basic of drawing that we all learn in the university or schools, they help a lot. But I don't know, sometimes you need to don't think too much what you're going to draw.
Yeah.
Sometimes you become also surprised as an artist when you are drawing. You know, always in the class, I'm saying that your mind need to be clicked with your hand. So whatever you see or you think about, your hands needs to be capable of draw that.
Yeah.
But sometimes hands can't draw without you thinking about it.
Turning from dry media, like drawing, to wet media, like acrylic or watercolor or oil, you know, you use a lot of, you know, methods of art making, let's call them, some photography, puppet making. I mean, just like everything and anything, just to get to the right visualization of whatever the story is. Is oil still your favorite medium?
I think so. You know, I like the thickness of the oil, but recently in the storyboard, I have a mixture of acrylic, ink, and oil paint. So the mixture sometimes create cool textures.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're taught don't ever mix oil with water when you're painting, and you did that on purpose in storybook to get those like cracks and sort of weird kind of shifts in color and stuff. So
the waves.
The lesson, I guess, here is you do whatever you want to do and use whatever you want to use and put everything together. There are no rules. Just create some cool art.
Right.
I heard you in an interview say that creativity and imagination can change the world. And I have to say, I'm going to share with you a little bit of my brain here. But when I first heard that, I thought, yeah, that's right. That's nice. But then I quickly kind of went, I went from like the sunny side of the street to the shady side, where I started thinking about how like creativity and imagination in the wrong hands with people who intentionally aim to hurt others, like we were talking about earlier, like Saddam Hussein had very creative reasons for wanting to, you know, invade Iran, one would say. And I kind of feel like creativity and imagination has to come with some guidance, you know, a little bit of humanity and empathy mixed in with creativity and imagination. And I think, and understanding, and even an effort of understanding too. I mean, I talk to a lot of illustrators about like the subject matter that they want to approach, you know, what is it they want to paint and stuff. You can't just go like, oh, I just want to paint an elephant and then paint an elephant. You actually have to like research and understand elephants and like get your head around like what that actually means and give the subject the respect that it deserves to get to some interesting visualization of your own. So I'm kind of meandering to this one last question here. Do you find that when it comes to like subjects, shouldn't there be more than those two things to sort of successfully navigate a career as an artist?
Yeah, you know, in my personal experiences, I found out when you look back to your root and your background, it
Yeah.
helps you a lot because, you know, when you are talking about the way you lived, it's a unique experiences. No one has that. And just you need to put value on that because you shouldn't think that, oh, it was a normal life, or it was everyone has this experience.
Right.
But if there are the same experiences as you, when you share it,
Exactly.
people can relate to it.
Yeah.
And it's as long as it's a real story, people like it. People can relate to it. So you're safe when you're talking about your root, your background, talking about the life that you live. I think it's very valuable.
Let's remember that there's someone listening to us. Chances are good that they are an illustrator or that they want to get into illustration. What last piece of advice, or perhaps some inspirational words, what would you like to say to them directly?
I'm telling them the same thing that I'm telling to myself every day. It's just be persistent. When you have a goal and you want to achieve to it, just should be pa you have to be patient. You shouldn't give up or stop. It's gonna be difficulties along the way. You need to just be persistent and do hard work. And don't afraid to share your life with others, and try to have fun. If you like to be an illustrator or author, you need to love that job. You don't think of it as a job. It's like it needs to be the labor of love, something like that.
To learn more about Rasheen, visit rasheenart.com. If you enjoyed our conversation, please share it with your friends, subscribe to the podcast, and provide a positive rating and review. Become a patron by visiting patreon.com/illustrationdept. In return, you'll receive our soft enamel pin, a reusable discount code for 10% off, and access to patron-only episodes we're calling Extra Credit. This podcast is produced by the Illustration Department, a global leader in online education for illustrators. Visit us at illustrationdept.com for class offerings, testimonials, the alumni showcase, the podcast show notes, our forum, the bookshop, and more. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.